Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm John Cardwell, pastor of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Anniston, Alabama, and welcome to A Biblical Perspective on the News, the Sermon Audio News and Focus program I've been absent from because certain priorities in our local church have caused me to prioritize, and so I haven't been able to speak on any news items. But there's one item in the news that caught my eye, and I thought that I would speak on it and bring a perspective, hopefully bring a very good biblical perspective to it in our meditations. And the article, I'll just get into the article. It says, from an NBC article that was dated February 9th, it says, two more churches burn in East Texas. Blazes are 10th in string of suspicious fires since January 1st. And I'll just read a part of the article here. Separate fires raged at two more churches in East Texas on Monday night. If confirmed to be arson, they would be the 9th and 10th churches set on fire in Texas since New Year's Day. The reward for information leading to the identity of the arsonist responsible for a rash of East Texas church fires has been increased to $25,000, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. There's a quote from one of the pastors, Dover pastor Carl Sample, said, "I can't comprehend how anyone would do the Lord's house this way." And then another pastor, Clear Spring pastor Brandon Owens, vowed that Sunday services would continue. Owens is quoted as saying, quote, "We've just got to do what the Lord instilled us to do," end quote. Owens said Monday night as he surveyed the damage at his church. And you could read the rest of the article that is linked here at Sermon Audio. And this is a very tragic thing that has happened. There are 10 churches that have been burned in just a small portion of the United States. It's not even all of Texas. It's just East Texas. 10 churches burned in a rash of burnings, possibly by arson, in less than 10 weeks. It's more than a church a week. We haven't been, we're not even 10 weeks into the new year. And I'd like to bring a particular passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. It says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." What particularly caught my eye with this news article that the two more churches burned, and also just recently we had another article of two evangelists that were shot down in Florida in preaching the gospel, that these things in their happening, and they are tragic, but I wanted us to reflect upon churches as I've been prioritizing my time and looking at that which the Lord has ordained, and those things that spring forth from the local church, that I certainly believe in the universal church, the church that Jesus Christ has built, and that he has been head of for 2,000 years. But the context of the New Testament is within the context of the local church. And here we have these facilities that are burned, where people are to gather for their gatherings and keeping the Lord's commandment to not forsake the gathering together of themselves, as we see the times approaching, and that we should gather together. And so we gather in these buildings that we have built. But the thing that I considered is that how much of what we do in Christ reflects upon, that is centered around the building and where we congregate. how much of what we do is built around the building where we congregate. Now, the one pastor, the Clear Springs pastor said, well, we're going to continue on with church services. Well, certainly they would. And that is the point that we should be reflecting on. This is the biblical perspective. I gave a devotion in our prayer meeting just recently, expressing that if because of my physical condition, I may not be preaching for much longer, but I'm fine with that. In fact, when I left Bush, Alaska, I thought that I wouldn't be preaching again nor pastoring a church. But by God's grace and in His mercy and by His good providence, I am here pastoring a church still. And it is physically demanding, much more physically demanding than when I was in Bush, Alaska because of my physical ailments. But my preaching the gospel, my being a pastor, my teaching the word of God and those things that I do in order to lead the church and work as an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd, those things don't define my Christianity. If I didn't do a single one of those things tomorrow, I am fine with that, because what defines my Christianity is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone defines my Christianity. Jesus Christ alone should define your Christianity. What Jesus Christ? The Jesus Christ of Scripture. The Jesus Christ who is very God, who took on the form of a servant and humbled himself as a man and went to the cross. The Jesus Christ, very God of very God. He alone defines my Christianity. And if I didn't do any of those things, my Christianity isn't defined by that. The definition of my Christianity, being in Christ, now springs forth, or causes to spring forth those things that I do. And I pray that though I'm not the most eloquent of the Lord's preachers, and I'm not the most polished and I'm not even the most passionate, and I'm probably a worse pastor and preacher than I even think that I am. But it is an honor to do so, and I don't want to downplay that. I don't want to dismiss that. That is an honor to be able to preach the gospel, to teach God's word, and to represent Christ. But who I am as a Christian is what defines my Christianity. And that is what is important. That's what defines you. If you are a Christian believer, what defines you as a Christian is Jesus Christ, and not the church building that you gather in. It is not the things, even the things that you do within the context of where you gather. Now, and I'm speaking in the very largest, broadest context of that. You might go to a church of 2,000 or 3,000 people that has a bookstore and a coffee shop in it. And I'm not, saying that you shouldn't have those things. I'm saying that if that place burned down, is so much of your Christianity wrapped up in you're having to go to that place to be a Christian, then you're missing it. You're missing the truth. It is not in that place. If it were, they should have had coffee shops 2,000 years ago and bookstores there. But I'm not speaking just to you that attend a larger facility that has those things. Lord bless you. Lord love you if you do. If you're in a small church facility, in a smaller congregation of 20 or 30 people, faithfully studying God's word. But what if your bought and paid for building was suddenly burned down, that you didn't, you made a point not to even go into debt to, so that building could be built from the foundation up in order for you to gather as a congregation, and you are so blessed that the Lord has been able to bring you to a place like that and to faithfully serve Him and to proclaim the truth of God's word. I'm speaking to you as well. If your church building burned down, are you lost? I mean, not lost this and you lost your salvation. I'm talking about what do we do now? Is so much of your Christianity wrapped up and around that which you do within that church building that you'll be that devastated? You know, we think of Job and all that he had lost. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that a truth that rings true in our heart? We read the passage of Scripture in Matthew 16. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That even your own life, beloved, is in the hand of the Lord. And those things that you use in order to enhance your life, though very good, if that is what defines you in your Christianity, you've blasphemed against your Savior. You've sinned against your Lord. Because it is Christ alone that defines our Christianity. And it's sad and it's tragic, and I pray that that doesn't happen to any of you in your congregations for your facility to be burned up. The truth of the matter is that there are many people all around the world that don't have the luxury of meeting in a facility, that must meet in caves like in North Korea or some other place that is suffering persecution. Remember the promises of God, which include the blessedness of His presence and the faithfulness of His word and the fellowship of the fellowship of the love of the brethren. It also includes that we shall be, that God promised that all those that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He promised us tribulation. He promised us that the world would hate us because they hate Him. These are tragic things, and the perspective from this story is our Christianity wrapped up in where we worship? Whether it's a small congregation and in a tiny country church that is very simple and unadorned, or if it is a large place, if your facility is lost, does that define you? Certainly not. Because what you do or where you go doesn't define your Christianity. It is Christ alone and in Him alone and for Him alone. The loss of these things, these church buildings, is tragic. But let us keep our perspective even in light of that, and then pray for our brethren that had such a loss. Make sure that and pray that they will have a perspective that is in Christ and Him alone. Very sobering stuff. Very hard stuff. Some people might say, "Hoy, John Cardwell, you're way off base. These are tragic things and they are wicked and evil." Yes, they are tragic things and they are wicked and evil. But if those wicked and evil things befall us, those should not change our Christianity in the least. In fact, those things should strengthen our faith in Christ and give us greater resolve to faithfully serve Him. Let's pray. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look at a perspective of Your Word, and even with the tragedy of these things that have befallen many of those that may truly, in fact, be our brothers and sisters in Christ, we won't even look at the doubt of whether they are, that they are human beings, and whether they're saved or not. These tragedies that happen, this tragedy of these churches, like the tragedies that are going on in Haiti, we pray that You're glorified in their lives, and that people will wake up that don't know You, that Your Spirit will go through, pour forth through Your people by Your word to save those who are lost. And we pray also, Lord, that for our brethren who have lost the place where they gather to worship You, we pray, Father, that this would not be a despair for them. We pray, Father, that this will be a great encouragement for them, because their encouragement is in you, their comfort is in you, and their peace, their joy, and all that they have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saddened that this must go on. We pray, Father, that if it is arson, that you would bring these folks to justice. And more importantly, if it is arson, that you would, in bringing them to justice, they might see the blessedness of your grace and your mercy in and through your people, that they may be saved, even unto the most wicked of them. We thank you, Father, for the blessedness of your word and for this time to take a biblical perspective on the news. In Jesus' name, amen.